On the Case, in partnership with Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors. The forward-thinking legal people.
It's almost 25 past 11. It's daytime on Downtown this Tuesday morning, the 26th of July. Hope you're well. Now, no one wants to leave a legal mess behind them when they die, but the number of inquiries about people who have died without making a will has more than doubled over the past 5 years. That's according to the Citizens Advice Bureau. There are now 850,000 people with dementia in the UK, with that number set to rise to over a million by 2025. Now, many people with dementia will eventually reach a point where they're no longer able to make decisions for themselves. When this happens, someone else, often a carer or a family member, will need to make decisions on their behalf. And to talk a little bit more about this, I'm joined by Lenore Rice from Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors. Good morning to you, Lenore. We're talking about power of attorney.
Yes, Siobhan, that's whereby someone who, whilst they have capacity, have the power to elect and choose who they would want to look after their financial affairs if in the event at some stage in the future they would become incapable of managing those affairs.
Now, is that, when can you do that? You know, do you do that whenever you're sort of in your 20s, in your 30s, or is it something usually I associate with an elderly relative?
Yeah, typically elderly. I mean, 15 years ago, 20 years ago when we were doing wills, it was really only the older clients you were offering this to, because dementia was certainly seen to be, or incapacity was deemed to be, something that you kind of unfortunately experience as you go on in life. However, we just offer all our clients today. You never know what's around the corner, you know, from an illness, an accident, and some incapacity periods can be for short periods of time. It doesn't have to be something that's progressive and forever.
Okay, so there's a couple of different points here. So if you decide that you don't want your family to have to deal with appointing power of attorney, and you yourself decide, look, I want to speak to my solicitor about this, what are the things you need to consider if you yourself are appointing somebody power of attorney for in any eventuality?
Well, typically husband and wife will normally appoint each other, because their private affairs are their private affairs. They'll tend to find that maybe they have a joint account anyway, and they can operate okay if one became incapable, and they just need the power of attorney to maybe deal with some sole assets. It becomes more difficult if it's a single person or their widower, and that's when you've got to get the decision right. Is it your children? Is it all of your children? Is it ones who are savvy and can deal with finances? Is it, you know, the one that's closer to home? So it just depends on the needs of the individual person and what suits them. But it has to be somebody that you trust and somebody that understands the legislation, the process, and what they're empowered to do.
And it is one of those things about being prepared, that it's a sort of conversation that nobody wants to have, but you should sit down and have it with the family.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, more and more, there's more adverts on TV about things like strokes and incapacitated people. So it is a delicate area, but we find ourselves, even when we're taking will instructions now, that we have to ask the direct question: have you ever had a mental health problem? Are you attending any mental health clinics or any units for treatment? Because we've got to make sure we do our job right, you know.
And then the other question, I suppose, is when a parent or a family member is, I suppose, you know, struggling to remember recent events and forgetting names and maybe anxious, and you're seeing a change and you're concerned about them, and maybe their finances are going a bit, they're forgetting to pay their bills, and it's a conversation you maybe can't have with them, but something needs to be done. What do you do?
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. If the person is still deemed to have capacity, then they can come in to the solicitor and we can have a bit of a chat. Or sometimes, quite often, we would go out and see them in their home where it's more their own environment and they're settled, and we would kind of have, you know, chat them up and then advise on what a power of attorney is, and then see if they want to actually go ahead and make one. If there's any doubts whatsoever about the person's capacity, if they have or they are becoming incapable, it may be that it's too late to take their instructions to make the power of attorney. And if that's the case, the family's recourse is to go to the court and make a formal application through the court and to get a court order to deal with the finances. So it's a bit more, there's a wee bit more paperwork to it, but it's still achievable. But the person who is incapable isn't getting to make that choice of who it is they want to make.
And just because you've had a dementia diagnosis doesn't mean that you're incapable of making decisions.
No. If we have any doubt whatsoever, we would sometimes even say, look, do you have, you know, obviously someone has diagnosed you with some form of dementia or confusion. Is it your GP? Or is it a consultant? And if that's the case, look, would you be happy if we attend with them? And we'll get them to either witness your signature or take advice on the day to say on the day you've made this document that you're capable, you understand it, and you're saying who it is you really, truly want to look after your affairs.
And again, the other side of it, I suppose, is that maybe, and you would love to think in a perfect world this doesn't happen, but maybe an elderly person being pressured to sign over power of attorney, what happens in a case like that? Or, you know, what can you do if you feel you're being pressured by the family and you're quite capable of making your own decisions?
Take your time about it. At the end of the day, you're entitled to your legal advice. Make sure you see a solicitor on your own. Even if someone's brought you to the appointment, get them to sit outside the room, and then just speak freely to your solicitor, and you're empowered with making your decisions. So you then indicate to your solicitor who it is that you want to instruct.
Now, we had a call from a listener earlier on who had said, now I just tried to get the gist of the subject and I hope I've got the gist of the call, but he said that he would like us to make listeners aware about the importance of when you do sign power of attorney to someone, that you nominate the person in part B, that recently something happened to him where he wasn't named as
right.
the power of attorney, that his father had signed over power of attorney, but there was nobody nominated in this part B.
Yes.
Can you understand what this was? Now, without going with no details of the case, and again...
Yes,
you know,
no, that's fine. Our enduring powers of attorney are in a standard form designed by the Law Society, so there are a few bits to fill in, and it's important that they're all filled in to make the document fully operative. So the donor is the person that makes the document, and they fill in their name and address, date of birth, they appoint a name who they want their attorneys to be, they indicate what powers they want them to have, and then in acceptance of that and to make it fully operative, the attorney or attorneys then also sign on separate bits. So all of those bits must be completed in order for it to be fully operative.
And, you know, I'm going to say there's a temptation to download documents from the internet, and there's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. doing a will on the internet, but it's always sensible maybe to get it checked.
Yes, if in doubt, at the end of the day, you know what you want, and you can put your, it's just like writing a letter, essentially. You know what you want to say, but there's different interpretations to different things. And whilst you might mean something, I could interpret it completely differently. So if you are doing it yourself and you just want a second pair of eyes to review it and scan it and make sure the deed or document or will is doing what you want it to do, then certainly get it checked out with your solicitor.
And Lenore, if you're unhappy with the advice that you've got from a solicitor, what's your recourse?
You can go to another solicitor, or you can file a complaint with the Law Society, who governs the solicitors. That's the Law Society in Belfast.
And just keep all your paperwork and keep a paper trail of emails.
And don't leave
letters.
It till it's too late. If in doubt at all, get it checked out. Certainly. And as I'm always saying, you know, on the show here, when you have wills, enduring powers of attorney, any legal documents, these documents can sometimes, it doesn't do any harm to have it reviewed, because somebody might have changed an address, your daughter might have got married and have a different surname, and it doesn't do any harm, you know, as life evolves, just to always revisit your documents and check that they're up to date and that, you know, they're doing what you really want them to do.
Now, on a completely different subject, heading off on holidays, and we talk about this at this time of the year all the time, but when there are children involved and the parents are separated, sometimes holidays can be a tough old time, particularly if you don't consult one another.
Yeah, that's right. Holidays don't just come up and, you know, surprise you. Holidays will be planned. You know yourself, if you've young children, it's something you save hard for and you plot and you plan. So, you know, you do the right thing and you advise the other parent, tell them where you're going. They're entitled to know the hotel where you're staying.
But is there a time, though, when maybe the parent who the children reside with might say, you know, it's better, I'm nearly better not to say anything because he's going to be difficult or she's going to be difficult?
Possibly right until the last minute. And sometimes, yes, it depends on each particular case. But if, for instance, it's mum heading off on holiday with the children, and, you know, dad normally has a bit of contact, well, you know, mum has to be sensible and say, well, look, should I offer some contact? You know, what with the children? It's always about the children putting their welfare needs first. And typically children have their own iPads or phones, and it may be that they can ring dad, they can send him some picture messages, you know, as long as you set the boundaries for whatever the contact's going to be. And sometimes it's better organised you are in these things, and you're, you know, there's transparency and that the other parent knows what's going to happen. It makes it easier, and because holidays will keep happening.
And when you're taking them on holidays, as I say, if there's a parent being particularly difficult, or you're concerned that they're being particularly difficult, is there a go-to person that you can say, look, do you know, I don't want to talk to him or I don't want to talk to her about this, but I want to notify someone? Or is that completely...
Well, if in doubt at all, speak to your solicitor. We live in a climate today where, you know, not everyone is from the same nationality. Some people will be in, you know, marriages and relationships, and they would feel, look, if he takes the child off home to his native country, is it a flight risk? Is he going to come back? So, yes, there's court orders that we can get put in place as long as we've had adequate time, so that to make sure that, you know, there's a defined boundary in what that other parent can or cannot do.
Indeed. Well, Lenore, thanks ever so much. Lots of food for thought there. Thanks ever so much for joining us, and we'll see you next month. Lenore Rice from Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors.
On the Case, in partnership with Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors, the forward-thinking legal people.